from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, we hear from the candidates in a major battle for a congressional seat in California that is receiving national attention, in part because the Republican incumbent, Dan Lundgren, is facing a tough fight with a Democratic challenger, Ami Bera, for the 3rd District seat. We'll hear from the two major candidates next, and we'll also hear from the Libertarian candidate later. And then we'll spend the second part of the hour with veteran political reporter and Washington, D.C.-based political analyst Mark Sandalow, looking at how congressional races shape up nationally. Forum is next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. A close and important congressional race in California's 3rd District pits incumbent Republican Congressman and former State Attorney General Dan Lundgren against Democratic candidate Ami Bera, a physician who served as Chief Medical Officer for Sacramento County and also served as Professor and Associate Dean of UC Davis Medical School. The race is drawing national attention because of its importance and because of the fact that it is a reverse of many congressional seats that see Democratic incumbents being challenged by Republican opposition. Certainly, there are many issues that face voters where these two candidates, these two main candidates, I should say, are clearly divided. Congressman Lundgren supports the Bush tax cuts, and Dr. Ami Bera is opposed to them. Congressman Lundgren supports offshore oil drilling, and Dr. Bera is opposed to them. And they are on different sides on gay marriage, with Ami Bera in support and Representative Lundgren opposed. But I thought we would have a debate of sorts this morning and find out where they are in many other positions, as much as we can squeeze in here. This is, I believe, the first debate that features these two candidates. And let me welcome both of you to the program. Representative Lundgren, good to have you. Welcome.
Thank you very much for having us. I appreciate it.
And Dr. Ami Bera, welcome to you. Good to have you here.
Michael, thanks for having me on.
It's our tradition to begin with the incumbent, and so Congressman Lundgren, let me begin with you, if I may, and let's begin by talking about health care. You want, I suppose, like many of your Republican brethren in the GOP, to see what is being called Obamacare dismantled.
I'd like to see it repealed and replaced with things that work. It does not really increase access. It is not bringing down cost. As a matter of fact, there's evidence every day that it's increasing costs. It does not do anything about improving the situation of the supply of doctors in our country. It is too costly, and it has the federal government imposing greater and greater obligations that have nothing to do with health care on the American people. In fact, I've got the first bill introduced to repeal a part of the health care bill, and that is to get rid of the onerous 1099 requirement that will hit every single business a year from January that has absolutely nothing to do with health care, but will be very, very much an imposition on businesses, particularly small businesses.
And Dr. Bera, where are you on health care right now?
Doctor, health care has to be about taking care of patients. It's got to be about putting our patients first and our seniors first. And the problem is this health care bill doesn't address the cost of health care. It doesn't take on a for-profit health insurance industry. It doesn't take on a pharmaceutical industry. And these are the same industries that are, you know, pouring hundreds of thousands of dollars into Dan Lundgren's campaign. I mean, that's the problem. He's protecting these corporate entities that have been funding him. Republicans across the country want to repeal this because we're not taking on the health insurance industry. As a doctor, you know, I'm tired of having to sit with my senior patients as they have to make decisions about which medications they can and can't afford. We've got to make healthcare about taking care of patients, and that's where we need to go. And this healthcare bill does need to address the cost of healthcare. It needs to lower the cost. It can't be built on the backs of small businesses. It's got to be about patients.
Well, I'm reminded, Congressman Lundgren, I know you probably want to address what was brought up in the way of money influence in this, so I'm going to go right to that. I'll go first, actually, to Dr. Bera, and then come to you, if I may, because about $821,000 has been spent in this campaign so far to influence voters in the 3rd Congressional District. And we have, in your case, Dr. Barra, a lot of medical groups, anesthesiologists, American Society of Anesthesiologists, and also pro-choice groups putting money into your campaign, and Indian American groups. I'd like to ask how beholden you feel to those who are putting money in your campaign, and then we'll talk about who's putting money behind the Lundgren campaign and how much he feels beholden to them.
Certainly. A lot of doctors have put money into this campaign because they want healthcare to be about taking care of patients. I'm beholden to the people in the 3rd Congressional District. That's who I've always worked for, and that's who I'm going to continue working for. Look at the money that's going into Dan Lundgren's campaign, the $700,000 that Karl Rove and his organization put into 1 week of television. And,
excuse me, you're talking about American Crossroads Group.
American Crossroads. Yeah. They ran outright lies. The Chronicle, in fact, this morning, talks about the lies in there about health care reform. Look at the big oil companies putting $84,000 in Lundgren's campaign, the health insurance industry, the pharmaceutical industry, the hundreds of thousands of dollars. Over 50% of Congressman Lundgren's campaign contributions have come from the biggest corporations in America, and that's who he's going to work for. I mean, they're buying and selling politicians, and they're protecting their investment. He's a former Bear Stearns lobbyist. He's going to fight for Wall Street. He gave $700 billion away to Wall Street banks and bailed them out, and then he refuses to hold these CEOs accountable. They're going back to their same old ways. We've got to fix American politics, and we've got to make it about the people.
All right, let me go to Congressman Lundgren. I want his rebuttal here.
Well, first of all, this is just the pure example of what Dr. Baer has done. He doesn't define himself. He goes on the attack mode. I mean, this is absolute nonsense, working for Bear Stearns. I mean, he makes this stuff up as he goes along, and he's never called for it. He's gotten $500,000 out of Southern California. What do those people want? He's gotten $300,000 out of the Midwest. Where do those people want? He's got over $1 million from people outside the district. Evidently, if he prescribes this same argument to himself, that wants something out of him, who are they? Look, the fact of the matter is, I came out very strongly where I was on the health care bill. I talked about not interfering with doctors and patients and this going in the wrong direction. Dr. Barra initially said that the Obamacare was a significant first step. Then he said it was a major first step. He was absolutely enthusiastic about it. Lately, he now says that he only reluctantly supports it. I said that it would not increase access and it would cost too much. Now he's parroting what I've said. The problem in this debate is not getting me to debate Dr. Barra, but the problem is Dr. Barra keeps debating himself. We ought to talk about the issues. We ought to talk specifically about the health care bill and not then go into ad hominem arguments about one another.
Well, let me get you
talk about jobs. We ought to talk
Let me get you back to the issues then, if I may. And I'd like to talk about jobs, and I'd like to talk about the two wars that we have going on. I hope we have time for both of those. So do you have a plan, Dan Lundgren, to increase jobs in this state?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not only this state, but this country. The first thing you ought to understand is that jobs are created in the private sector, not the government sector. The Democrats have put forward their plan, which is a series of stimulus packages, much like Japan tried to do in the late 1980s, early 1990s, which resulted in what economists have called the lost decade. I have supported a plan that would, in fact, create more jobs. In fact, by the analysis of the president's own economic advisors, would have produced twice the number of jobs at half the cost of the so-called stimulus package they put forward. Targeted tax cuts for small business, allowing the Bush tax cuts to continue, or another way to say it is not having this huge tax increase that's scheduled to go January 1st, which Dr. Barra said he supports. Certainly not adding a gas tax, which Dr. Barra has said would help drive down consumption. If he hasn't noticed, consumption's been driven down already by the economy that's not doing too well. Our unemployment in our district is higher than the state's average. The state has a unemployment rate that's third worst in the country. Something's not working. I have put forward an alternative approach that relies more on the private sector, particularly small business, which has, for the last 30 years, produce 60% to 70% of the new jobs in the United States.
Let me go to Dr. Barra. Do you have a plan for more jobs? Apparently, Congressman Lundgren has said you're along with the Democrats on the stimulus plan and pretty much what they have put forward. Are you moving in a different direction?
Absolutely, we've got a plan, and it's on our website. You know, it's a 5-point plan. First off, you know, it's the same old politics of deceit and deception that Congressman Lundgren preaches. He's not a champion of small business. In fact, if you look at how he's voted repeatedly against measures that would help small businesses. 70% of the jobs are going to come from small businesses, and that's how we get the economy going again. We also have to address these big corporations that are moving jobs overseas. We've got to close the tax loopholes that allow us to move jobs overseas and penalize those companies. And again, the congressman voted against closing those tax loopholes. We've got to support the companies that build in America and rebuild in America. We've got to support a clean energy economy and start moving towards that clean energy economy. And that will take real investment. That will take a real plan. We've got to have a banking system that works for small businesses. As I talk to the small business owners here in the district, they see incredible opportunity, but they can't get the banks to work with them and lend. We've got to clean up Wall Street. We've got to, you know, address the deficit and debt and start rebuilding a future for our children and grandchildren. And you know, that is going to be about some hard choices. The congressman does practice this politics of deceit and deception. You know, look at who he's working for. He's working for the biggest corporations in America. He's working for the Wall Street banks. And, in fact, he was a lobbyist that represented Bear Stearns. So, you know, you can go ahead and look at the track record there.
Let me do this, by the way. I'm going to have to give out the phone number now because we only have till the half hour, and I want to get some of our listeners involved. In fact, if you'd like to join us with questions or comments for either candidate, feel free to do that now. It's 866-733-6786. We'll try to get at least a few calls on. Again, the toll-free number for your calls will be 866-733-6786. 6786. You can also send an email to us, forum@kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website by going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. We're going to try to get some interactivity here, but I wanted to follow through on what I said before, and that is get the positions from both candidates on the two wars that are going on, which have taken not so major a role or a preeminent role as many of us believe they should in this whole election campaign that's going on, and I'm talking about nationally. Ami Barrow, what do you want to see happen in Afghanistan, and what do you want to see happen in Iraq, quickly, if you could?
You know, the first thing we need to do is we need to demand from our president to clearly articulate what our goal is in Afghanistan, and then clearly articulate what the strategy is to reach that goal and what the outcome measures are to see if that strategy is working. The truth is the president hasn't clearly articulated what our goal is. Yes, we have to keep America safe. Yes, you know, we have to make sure al-Qaeda and the Taliban don't come back. We've done our armed services has done a great job routing Al Qaeda and the Taliban. You know, we've got a Karzai government that, you know, we don't know that we can trust that government. Are we going to stay there forever? We need the president to clearly articulate what the goal is and what the strategy is towards our accomplishing that goal.
And you feel that in Iraq things are moving along at a kind of pace that you aren't.
Yeah, the Iraq government has spoken, and they want self-governance. You know, we're going to remain an ally of Iraq, and we should certainly help support the government. But, you know, the generals, General Petraeus and others, have said, you know, it's time for us to start withdrawing, and I'd support that. I'd listen to the generals.
And let me go to Congressman Lundgren.
Well, first of all, before I respond to that, I just hope you note who's dealing with ad hominem arguments here. I don't accuse him of deceit and deception, but it obviously trips easily off his lips. He says that I don't support small business. I've been endorsed and received awards from every year I've been in Congress from the National Federation of Independent Businesses, which is the largest organization supporting small business. I've been endorsed by the local chambers in our district. And just this week, or last week, the Sacramento chapter of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce endorsed my bill for small business, H.R. 5141, repealing that section of the health care bill. Dr. Barrow refuses to take a position on it. So, he just puts out a statement saying that I'm not for small business when small business thinks I am, since they're endorsing me. In terms of the war, we are drawing down in Iraq that is appropriate. I happen to think what we're doing there is appropriate. It has been a tough go to try and be able to train the troops and the police forces in Iraq.
but I think that we are seeing success there. We have some shortcomings in the government there. There's no doubt about that. But I think that most Americans agree with how we're proceeding there. Afghanistan is the more difficult political case, but I happen to think it is as important, if not more important, than what occurred in Iraq, precisely because that was the country that sustained and supported those who were involved in the 9/11 terrible criminal and wartime act against the United States. We have to show the staying power to ensure that there is a stable government in Afghanistan, that we do not leave before the job is done, because that would send a message to those who would wish to do us harm that even if you attack, even if you aid and assist those who attack the United States on their own soil, the United States will not be vigilant in its response. At the same time, we have to recognize, and it's absolutely true, and General Petraeus has said this both publicly and privately, it's a different war in Afghanistan than the one we had in Iraq. While the surge elements or elements of a surge policy are extremely important, we have a very different society there, very much tribal or village-oriented, very much decentralized. We have to work both with the central government there and with the decentralized powers that exist. I think we're doing that. I think General Petraeus is doing an exceptionally good job in leading us in that direction. But no one should believe that it's easy or it's going to be short-term. We ought to realize the truth about that situation.
I'm going to bring in some callers here, getting, as you can imagine, flooded with calls from Elk Grove and Sacramento and Gold River. We'll try to get in as many of you as we can. We'll begin with a caller named Sikatu. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, sir, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, how you doing, sir? Hi, Dr. Vera, Mr. Dungren, I just wanted to ask a question about Social Security.
And the question would be what, sir? Specific? Can you be specific?
What steps will it take in Congress to ensure Social Security is a solvent system?
Do you want me to?
We'll go first to Dan Lundgren on that, yeah.
Well, the first thing we have to recognize is if we're ever going to do anything on the system, we have to assure those people who are already in the system or about to enter the system that nothing's going to change for them. So I've adopted what I call the double nickel approach, meaning that anybody 55 and over should not have to worry about any changes in Social Security. Those who are younger than 55 should engage in a debate with the Congress, with the President, on how we take steps to ensure that Social Security will be a viable program in the future. I have some ideas specifically about that, of giving people options, allowing them perhaps to take a portion of that which goes into the trust fund now and allowing them to invest it, much like federal employees are allowed to invest in about four or six different development pots. But one of the key things in that would be if someone made that decision, they would have a property interest in that investment. In other words, that would be theirs. And so, frankly, they could give that to their heirs upon their death, to their spouse upon their death, be different than what happens now. But that would have to be based on the fact that nothing would change for anybody 55 or older.
And Dr. Barra?
Yeah, you know, the congressman's plan, again, it's that politics of deceit and deception. He wants to privatize Social Security, except last week he lied to a group of senior citizens when he said he's never talked about privatizing Social Security. He just alluded to it right there. In fact, he's told both the Sacramento Bee and the San Francisco Chronicle he wants to privatize Social Security. You know, it's this politics of deceit and deception that we're sick and tired of. Career politicians saying one thing and doing another thing.
We
shouldn't privatize Social Security. We should fix the trust fund and make sure the trust fund is whole. It's a program that works. It's a program that keeps our seniors out of poverty. It's a program that's worked. Let's shore up the trust fund and let's keep it going. You know, it's an outright lie when he says he doesn't want to privatize Social Security. He supports Paul Ryan's roadmap to the future, which privatizes Social Security, which makes Medicare a voucher system and privatizes Medicare. It's a giveaway to Wall Street again, and we've got to fight against that. Let's shore it up. Yes, we've got to tweak things. We've got to make it a little bit better, but let's shore up the trust fund. You know,
I would challenge Dr. Barra to give one instance of where I've ever said I want to privatize Social Security. It does not exist.
You know what?
It does not exist, Dr. Barra, and you know it.
Go to our YouTube site, and we'll have multiple examples of it. You've told the Sacramento Bee and the San Francisco Chronicle that you want to privatize Social Security.
I did not.
All right, I'm going to go to more calls. I think we're at a standstill here, and we get Carlos on from San Francisco. Good morning, Carlos.
Yes, my question is to both candidates, and that is, this country is in dire need of bullet-type train service, like from Northern California to Southern California. It would also go to creating jobs. I'd like to know from each one of them what, in fact, they would do to try to get some bullet-type rail service in California.
All right, Dr. Barra, do you have a position on bullet train service?
I do.
Rail?
You know, now's the time where we should be investing in 21st-century transportation. Now's the time that we should be putting people to work. I mean, it has the ability. You know, these are going to be funded projects. We've already passed the bond initiative. Let's put people to work. Let's start building this infrastructure that starts moving us into the 21st century. We've got a lot of laborers that are out of work, operating engineers that are out of work. You know, this is the perfect time to get those people employed again.
Congressman Lundgren.
Well, there's a perfect example of a huge difference between myself and Dr. Barra. He said this is the perfect time to build a bullet train in California. Have you noticed that we're in deficit, Dr. Barra? Have you noticed that we have a huge deficit on the federal level? $1.3 trillion we spent this last year that we don't have under the leadership of your friend Nancy Pelosi. Look, we can't afford it. Our children are being buried in debt, and you want to talk about building some $10 billion rail system that we can't afford. That's the silliness of the liberal Pelosi approach. Yeah, promise people everything, even though we can't afford it. I couldn't look my children or my grandchildren in the eye and say that. I don't know how you can.
Well, as long as we're talking about indebtedness, and we've only got a couple minutes left, I'd like to hear what you have to say, Dan Lundgren, about the national debt. You have talked about zero-based budgeting for federal agencies, and give us a little sense, if you could, succinctly about what you mean, and then I'll go
Absolutely.
To Dr.
Barra. What we need to do is we need to change the way in which we approach it. First, we ought to adopt a budget. This last year was the first time since 1974 when the Budget Act was passed that we didn't adopt a budget intentionally. And that was the decision of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, who I say my opponent wants to support and keep in office. Secondly, I have said that every agency and department of the federal government ought to be required to establish a set of priorities. Every single function that they carry out under the law ought to be prioritized from most important to least important. So when we do have to go and limit spending, when we do have to create cuts, we do it with the least important rather than the most important.
And Dr. Barra,
I would do, as you said, zero-based budgeting, where every government agency and department has to justify dollar one rather than dollar $1 billion in one.
In the interest of time here, because we're coming to the end, I want to hear Dr. Barra on legislation with a provision on how to pay. What do you mean by that?
You know, we should have a paygo and a strict paygo. So if we're passing anything, we need to know how we're going to pay for it. But I'd ask the congressman if he's noticed that people are out of work. We need to put people back to work, and this has to be about creating jobs. I'd take the $2.6 billion of tax subsidies that we give to big oil companies that the congressman voted on giving to big oil companies. Let's take that back and invest it here in America. Let's build things in America and put Americans to work again. You know, we know our history. When we invest in America, we move ahead. We built the Transcontinental Railroad, and we boosted our economy. We built a space program, and we boosted our economy. We built an interstate highway system. We put thousands of people to work, and we built an economy.
That's going to have to be the final word. I want to thank both of you, Dr. Ami Barra, Democratic candidate for the 3rd Congressional District, and Representative Dan Lundgren, the incumbent member of the U.S. House of Representatives of the 3rd District. I thank you both. Thank our listeners. We'll be back soon. I'm Michael Krasny.